Welcome to our Painesville Assembly of God podcast. Our desire is to connect people to a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If this message touches your heart, we'd love to hear about it. Email us at info@painesvilleag.com or visit painesvilleag.com. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to your faith.
It's family. It's family. That's what we are here at PAG. We're family, right? The vision that God has put before us is exciting, but it's also scary, isn't it? It can be overwhelming, and if we look at it from just a human perspective, we might wonder, how is that even possible? Pastor, that is just an absolutely huge amount that you believe we can raise over the next 3 years. I don't believe we can raise. I believe God can provide for what we need. But, you know, we might ask questions. Is this vision wise? Is this the right time for something like this? Is this something we should really be involved in? What if this doesn't work out? And these are concerns and questions that I have to be honest with you. I have wrestled through these concerns and questions myself as I have just been looking and saying, God, are you sure? Is this what you want? But last fall, I attended a leaders retreat that was designed to be able to create space, to be able to take some time to pray and seek the Lord. And so that fall, last fall, I was at this retreat. It was at our campground, Heartland Conference and Retreat Center. I took a walk on one of the trails into the woods, and I had a journal in my hand, and I sat down and began to pray and just began to write down some things that I felt like God was putting on my heart. And he gave me a particular scripture that I journaled that day. And as I began to pray into the messages that we're going to preach over the next couple of weeks, and I began to pray into this vision that God has put in our hearts, I looked at the journal that I recalled and the verse that the Lord had given me. And it was this, Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors and to give them. Be strong and be very courageous. As I was feeling apprehension, we had had the July meeting where we had passed as far as the remodel of the sanctuary, as the membership. I began to feel a little bit of apprehension about some things that were going, but I felt the Lord put that verse on my heart. Be strong and courageous. It was the message I believe that God has spoken to me for us to share with you during this season. And he's continued to bring that to me time and time again. Here's the context that strongly ties to where we are as a church. Joshua chapter 1 continues the history of the Israelites through the book of Deuteronomy. You may recall that after being set free from bondage in Egypt, the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness. They had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. During the journey, God had guided them. God had provided for all of their needs. And yet many times throughout that season, people had rebelled against God and his leader, Moses. They grumbled, they griped, and they complained. And in fact, 40 years earlier, they stood on the edge of the land that God had promised, viewed the land, but decided that they were not going to go in because they didn't trust that God was going to be able to take care of the giants that they saw before them and the fortified cities that were before them. And they stood on the edge, all but two, 12 spies. Two of them came back and said, yes, God will do it. We believe God will do it. 10 said, nope, nope, it's too big. Those people are too big. Their armies are too big. They have more resources than we have. And they stood on the edge of the promised land and decided not to go in, and they wandered for another 40 years until a new generation of Israelites rose up. And that's the time frame in which Joshua 1 starts. A new generation of Israelites standing on the verge of being able to then take hold of what God had promised. And it's at that moment that Joshua 1:1 reads this, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. God's instructions were to say that my plan that I have did not die with Moses. Moses, my servant, is dead, but my plan remains the same. Take these people and go courageously in to what I have called them to take hold of. To understand this, you got to consider their present circumstances, right? Moses, who is Moses? Moses had been their spiritual leader for generations. He's the only leader at that point that they had ever known since they had come out of Egypt. He was the one that had led them across the Red Sea on dry ground when their enemies were destroyed behind them. Moses was the one who had came down from Mount Sinai shining like the sun because of the glory of God, bearing the Ten Commandments of the Lord. It was Moses who had found good water in the middle of the wilderness. It was Moses who helped them cross a desert filled with deadly snakes and all kinds of things. What do they do now? Moses, my servant, is dead. And here they stand on the edge of the promised land. Are you sure, Joshua, this is God's timing? This doesn't seem like the right time for something like this. Moses isn't with us to lead us. There are things that just seem a little bit unknown about the future here. We're going into a land where we've never been before. We were going to face enemies that we've never met. We're going to be led by a God that we've really never seen. We're going to enter a land where none of us have really ever seen it except two, and you guys are in your 80s. Our task is to conquer the land with a little more than sticks and stones. We don't have the kind of weapons or the training or the armies to do that. This task seems insurmountable. It seems impossible. And yet, they moved ahead. I want to tell you right up front that the mission and the vision that God has put in our hearts will involve challenges that we have never met before. Yet I believe that God honors faithful obedience. And over the next 3 years, I believe that we're going to see miracles happen. Because it's not things that we can do. We're going to see life change. People's lives are going to be changed. Miracles are going to take place. And we are going to get to celebrate the glory of God because of it. I believe that we're going to see God transform both this church and this community. But this beyond vision is going to require faith and courage, friends. For the Israelites, they knew that all too well. Again, 40 years earlier, it was fear that led to a lack of faith and disobedience, and it was costly. An entire generation didn't get to take hold of the promises of God because of that faithlessness. If we're not careful, fear can paralyze us. Fear of what the future holds. What happens if God doesn't do what he says he's going to do? What's going to happen? If we fear those things, it can keep us from moving forward. This is what was happening with Joshua. And they were standing on the other side on the brink. And God said, Moses, my servant, is dead. But Joshua, be strong and courageous. It's time to step forward into my plan. Because although Moses has died, my plan has not. Courage is not having more military strength or resources, and it doesn't mean the absence of fear. Courage is more than just tough determination. Courage is a quality of mind or spirit that enables us to meet danger, opposition, and challenges in life with fearlessness, calmness, and firmness. Someone has said, I have courage, but I'm still afraid. Yes, absolutely, because it's not about us. It's about the power of God in us. Courage is that quality of mind that enables men to encounter danger and difficulty with firmness and resolve in spite of inner fears. Let me give you the example of the Apostle Paul. Maybe the Apostle Paul was quite a bold and courageous person, wasn't he? Yet it might surprise you to think that this faith-filled, courageous leader said in 1 Corinthians 2:3, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. It may not appear that way, but friends, I feel like the Apostle Paul today. I know whenever you talk about bold vision or faith, or whenever you talk about finances, that with that, you might meet challenges. In Joshua chapter 1, the imperative is to be strong and courageous, and it's founded upon some critical principles. Principles that apply not only to us as a church, but also apply to you and I personally, if we want to take hold of those things that God has promised us. So let me share with you quickly four foundations of courage today from Joshua chapter 1. Four foundations of courage. Number one, courage rests upon a clear assignment from God. A clear assignment from God. There is no courage apart from mission. There's no courage apart from mission. Just as there is no such thing apart as fear apart from challenge. You're not courageous just simply to be courageous, but you are courageous for something, to go after something. Let's go back to Joshua chapter 1 and pick it up again in verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I have promised. Notice that his words to be strong and courageous that come later are based on the assignment that God has given, the mission that God has given them. I will give you every place you set your foot as I promised Moses. God was reassuring him that this is my assignment for you. This is my mission for you. This is the plan forward for you. When God gives you an assignment, when God gives you a calling, when God gives you a mission, and it's bigger than you, you have to understand that your courage and willingness to take a step of faith is going to be based on God's assignment and his calling, not just simply on doing bold and crazy things. I don't want to have courage just for courage's sake. We don't want to just take steps of faith just for steps of faith's sake. We take steps of faith and we are courageous in that faith because we believe that God has given us a designed appointment. He has an appointment for us. He has an assignment, a divine assignment for us. And God was reassuring Joshua that I have an assignment for you. And your courage just isn't based on something you want to do, but it's based on something I'm telling you that we're going to accomplish through you. That's going to be accomplished through you. I'm confident when I say that the Acts 1:8 vision is from the Lord. Many of these opportunities that we have and that I share with you are not things that we went out and sought. They were opportunities that came and were presented to us, doors that were opened, burdens that were placed on the heart of people in this church, causes that we felt divinely directed to pursue. And every one of us has an assignment from the Lord. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." That we should walk in them. That implies that when we walk in them, we take a bold step of obedience into the things that God has created and wired us for. That is not just for us as a church, but there are things that God has wired you for. You are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, and there are good works that he has planned long ago for you to step into. But sometimes we don't step into those things because of fear. But you can have courage when you know that God has called you. What are the things that God has prepared for you to do? When was the last time you reassessed God's call on your life? What are those things that God has given you a passion for? You see, your courage will rise when you have confidence in your call. Secondly, courage is sustained by God's presence. Look at Joshua 1:5. "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Let's jump ahead to verse 9. God said it again. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." Why? Look at this. "For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." God never calls us to do anything apart from him. He never calls us to do anything apart from him. He will not leave us. He says to Joshua, "I will not leave you. You're not going to do this task on your own." These words stress the nature of the one who gave the command, the one that focuses our attention not on the task that seems overwhelming, but on the God that is bigger than the task that he's called us to. That was better than you said amen. One of the secrets of having boldness and courage is to be aware of God's provision and his presence. Awareness of his presence, especially when he's the one who promises, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Let me give you an example from the New Testament. After the crucifixion, the disciples, they were lacking courage. There was the crucifixion. They had even heard that Jesus had was no longer in the tomb. He found them in an upper room, and they were afraid. They were afraid. The doors closed and locked. John 20:19 says, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors were being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. And Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. Understand, they were full of faith, or they were full of fear, not faith. Jesus had died. They had heard. He had said, I'm going to rise again. But they didn't believe it. They'd gone to the tomb. The tomb was empty. They were still afraid. Doors were locked. But Jesus shows up in the middle of those locked doors. He says, peace be with you. And immediately it changed everything. Listen, the thing that overcomes fear is when you know that Jesus is with you. Jesus is with you, that his never-ending presence is with you. This vision that God has given us is rooted in Acts 1:8 that says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Did you notice? You'll be my witnesses. Why? Why can you be my witnesses? Because the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Because my presence will live in you and will come upon you. Because the Holy Spirit will be with you. Our theme verse for this campaign, Ephesians 3:20, God will do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. Why? Look at this. According to his power that is at work where? Within us. I don't think some of you are getting this. I don't think you get it. You got the Holy Spirit's power inside of you. So if God calls you to do something, it is not done in your power or your strength or with your resources. It's done through the power of the Holy Spirit that is at work in you. God wants to do things in us. God wants to do things before us and go before us. But he does it because of his power that is at work within us. Ooh. Oh, friends, how will God accomplish what he has called us to do? Because of his power that's at work within us. Because when the Holy Spirit is in control of a man's life and is instructing him in God's word, he imparts to him not a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Courage is not founded in the reality that we see before us, but it's founded in the reality of God's power that is at work within us. I believe that God is calling us because Acts 1:8 is clear. He told it to his disciples then, and we are his disciples now. And I believe that God will supply, and he is calling us to go beyond what we think is possible in our humanness and to trust that he is able to do it by the power that is at work within us through his Holy Spirit. What he is looking for is obedience. Philip Brooks says, don't ask for tasks equal to your powers. Ask for power equal to your tasks. Thirdly, courage requires intentional obedience. As I've already shared three times, God repeats, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Three times, be strong and courageous. It is an imperative command. Joshua is going to have to intentionally walk in strength and in courage. While the future is yet unknown, while no battle has been fought, while no walls of Jericho have come down, God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. This is a step of faith that you have to take. You might struggle with fear, and given the natural circumstances and the history that Moses had of trying to lead this people that grumble and complain and that don't want to take steps of faith, Joshua, I'm calling you an imperative. Be strong and courageous. God was calling Joshua as a leader to step forward in obedience, which was going to require strength and courage. Friends, courage is not a feeling. It's a decision. I don't think you got that. I think I'm preaching to the wall. Courage is not a feeling. It's a decision. It's a decision. The demonstration of courage and strength is only seen through intentional steps of obedience. There are a lot of people that talk a lot of big talk. Oh, God has the power. Praise the Lord. I think we do it every Sunday. God has the power. Nothing is impossible with God. Hallelujah. How many of you believe it today? Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. God is able. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. God is able to provide. Amen, Pastor. Amen. Amen. Here's Joshua preaching to the Israelites. Oh, God says we should go. Do you believe God said we could do it? Yes. Do you believe he said, do you believe nothing is impossible? Yes. All right, let's just stay here. You can say you have courage. You can say you have faith. You can say you have faith in a God that can do the impossible and a God that can provide what you don't have. But I'm going to tell you right now, folks, that unless we actually take steps of faith, our mouth saying that we have courage, our mouth saying that we believe God is able, it doesn't mean anything until we actually take an intentional step of obedience. God can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Amen, Pastor, according to the work of the Holy Spirit that is within us. Amen, Pastor. But we're not going to see it, and we're not going to be able to go beyond unless we're willing to take an intentional step of obedience and courage and say, God, we believe. We believe it, and we're willing to do it. We're willing to trust you. Here's the truth. If you act courageously, you'll get more courage. God is with you, but he only strengthens you when you're willing to raise your leg and take a step of faith, right? God can't steer a parked car. Jesus, take the wheel. Who cares if it's in park? Come on. The wind will only blow and move you if you put your sail up. All right, last one. Courage is anchored in God's word. This is probably more critical than anything else. Joshua 1, 7 and 8, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Listen, success or failure is always tied to obedience to God's word. We've got to keep God's word central in our hearts. We've got to keep God's word at the heart of what we do. What God's word says and the truth of God's word, we must not deviate from. Joshua's strength and the task that he faced would only come from the written word of God. He would get power and courage and guidance that was necessary as long as he stayed and meditated on the word of God. The guidance that was necessary, the overwhelmingness that would come in a time like this, he would be reassured when he would go back into God's word and say, this is what God said, and if God says it, we're going to trust him. Every morning, studying and reading the precepts and the principles of the book of the law, remembering the history as he would read through those first five books. That's all he had at that time, not the entire thing that we have. But as he would see God's faithfulness of delivering his people out of Egypt and the promises that he had made to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, the covenant promises that he had made, how he had appeared to Moses and the miracles of provision that he had done while they were in the wilderness, nothing would say those things would stop now when they took a step of obedience into the future that God had for them. It wasn't going to stop. Those past failures and those past covenant promises fulfilled would remind Joshua to hang on and trust that God would do what he said he would do. Psalm 1:1-3 says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree, look at this, planted by the water, which yields its fruit in seasons, whose leaf does not wither, whatever he does prospers. When we stay in God's word and we stay connected to his word, it's like a tree planted in the water. We can trust that God is the one who will provide what we need in the seasons that we need so that we can continue to bear fruit and see multiplication happen. Whatever he does prospers. As Paul was talking about in Ephesians when he said their mind needed to be washed with the water of the word sometimes when it comes to courage, we need to have our mind washed in the water of the Word to cleanse us from false beliefs and attitudes and misguided plans and hopes and things that combine to make us afraid and overwhelmed. We need to trust in God's Word to cleanse our minds of these things, and furthermore, to clarify direction, to purify our motives, to strengthen our faith, and to quiet our fears. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Bible gives us discernment, and we need to keep a hold of it and do the things that God calls us to do, and let the word of God dwell in us richly, according to Colossians. Worship team, will you come? Friends, this beyond vision is not just about projects, folks. It's about obedience. It's about being faithful to what Jesus has called us to do in Acts 1:8, to be his witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It's about strengthening the heart of our church so we can welcome more people to worship and discipleship. It's about restoring our sister church in Chardon so that the gospel can continue to be a light there in that community. It's about bringing the word of God to children through LifeWise Academy. It's about walking with the hurting through trusted local ministries. And it's about sending our people to the nations with the good news of Jesus Christ. This is not something that we can accomplish by human strength alone. And that's exactly where our theme verse speaks to at this moment. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. God's power is already at work in this church. I've seen it. History has proven it. The question is not whether God is able. We've seen his faithfulness before. The question is whether we are willing. Whether we're willing to pray. Whether we're willing to commit. Whether we're willing to give. Whether we're willing to say yes. Once again, you see, in 1936, this church was planted with a dream, and near 90 years later, God says, I'm not finished with you yet. I've got more that I want to do through Painesville Assembly of God and the people that are here. Imagine what it could be if we step forward together in faith. Imagine the lives that will be changed. Imagine the stories that will be told. Friends, imagine the kingdom impact that is before us. God is not calling us to go beyond, just like God is calling us, to go beyond just like every generation before us, but it is going to take courage and it's going to take faith. So I invite you to pray with us, to say yes, to step forward, and to trust God to do what only he can do. Will you commit to praying with us over the next 4 weeks as we seek the Lord for his vision, this beyond vision, and ask, God, what are you asking of us? Are you willing to pray and say, God, we're going to go on this spiritual journey? And I open up my heart, use the weekly prayer guides, come to the prayer and worship nights that we have, and together let's yield to the Holy Spirit and say, God, speak to our hearts. You can hear what Pastor says, but I pray over the next 4 weeks as you pray, God will stir in your heart what he stirred in mine and the leadership of this church. As we close here, the worship team's going to lead us, and I want to ask you to pray, and I want to ask you to ask God about taking a bold step of faith. What is God asking you to do? That, our church vision, but personally, what's God asking you to do? What step of faith is he asking you to do? What has God put before you that maybe you've been hanging back and not stepping forward? You've been hanging back in fear and not stepping forward in faith. Something that seems overwhelming, fear creeps in. Well, today, I want to invite you to open up your heart to the Holy Spirit once again and say, God, will you fill me with faith? Will you fill me with courage? Will you speak clearly what you have put in my heart to do? What are you calling me to do so that we can obediently follow your leading, so I can obediently follow you're leading? Can we stand today? Again, if you're online, will you do the same thing? Lord, what are you calling me to? God, in this season, what are you calling me to? What have you been leading me to do? What step of faith? Where do I have fear? And you want to replace it with courage. Jesus, we just come right now. And Lord, we pray. We pray, Lord, into the vision that you have put in the heart of the leadership here in this church, that you are calling us, God, to go beyond, trusting you that you can do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. And so, God, I pray that you would stir in us faith and you would bring clarity, Lord, and you would stir in us, Lord, a willingness to say yes to what you are calling us to, that you'll just speak to our own hearts and confirm what you want to do. You would just speak to our hearts and confirm. And God, what do you want us to do in us personally? What we are your workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works that you've planned long ago. What is it? What step of faith are you calling us to take? Maybe we've been afraid. But God, I pray that today you would just stir in us courage today. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you're encouraged by this message. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, visit PainesvilleAG.com.